So right now, though, on this programme, I'm joined... It's good to see you back in the studio. Nicola Valentine from CKLG, and you've brought your friend in with you as well, Nicola.
It's nice to be back. Thanks for having us. I've brought my friend Emma with us today.
Emma, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
OK, and what are you at CKLG? What do you do? Do you have a title?
I'm a tax manager, so I work in personal tax services, a variety of clients, a lot of them, some of their own business, investments, that sort of thing. But I've been working in tax for a number of years and been with CKLG for the last seven, so working with Nicola here.
Excellent. Well, welcome along this afternoon. We're going to be putting you through your paces in a minute, because I got the email through, because you guys know far more about accountancy and things like that than I do, so it's you who decide really what we should be talking about. Last time, remind us, we talked about residency, didn't we, and things like
that. Yeah, last time we talked about residence and why that might be important to understand which country you're resident in for tax purposes, and therefore which country you should be paying taxes in, and the impact that can have on your position. So today we wanted to talk about domicile.
Now, hang on, for the idiot. See, now, for someone like me, I would go, what's the difference?
So when I first heard about domicile, I thought that meant where you live, but it's not that at all. It's about more about where your heritage is and where you belong, and where you've always been for tax purposes and where you're going to be for the future. So it's more long-term than residence. It's not about where you call home now.
All right, and this is your field of expertise, is it, Emma?
Yes, one of them. And I do have a lot of clients with sort of domicile and residence questions and issues, and it's something that we regularly deal with tax planning advice and advising people how they can basically mitigate UK tax
Is this a Cambridge thing? Because we kind of had this conversation last time. There's an awful lot of people from not round these parts and a lot of people from Cambridge going to work abroad. Is this a sort of an echo of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Cambridge is such a transient city with people coming in and out, it's the city that does have quite a few people who may be affected by their domicile position, who may be coming to the UK maybe to study and then stay on after they've graduated. You get other examples of people who have come to work in the UK, but they're from other places and they've settled here,
right,
or going away and settling somewhere else. So because of its transit nature as a city, you do get quite a cross-section of people in Cambridge with all different sort of international statuses. So it is a topic which does come up quite a lot for
us. Yeah, and we've particularly had people working in the biotech sector,
sure,
with the sort of businesses and organisations and research and development that's going on here. So they might be bringing in someone from elsewhere in Europe because, you know, that's the top guy in that area and they want him to do the work, but may only be here, perhaps not even resident, but then maybe becoming resident after a while.
Well, the way these things often work is, you're just in on a 3-month contract,
yes,
and 10 years later he never actually went. And that's the sort of thing we're talking about,
Yes. I mean, the same happens with students as well. I fancy studying there, but, you know, hang on, I've met someone. I'd like to settle down, I'll have a job, and then so on and so forth. The children arrive and,
yes,
it's 20 years later.
I can imagine. And I guess if you originally think that you're coming in here on a 3-month contract, all of what you're about to talk about, it's irrelevant because I'm only here for 3 months and I'll be going back.
Yeah.
So is it a case of a lot of people miss a trick when they first arrive, or is this something that they can pick up on at any point while they're here?
Not really. I mean, it depends on what income you have, what assets you have, as to what the implication of your resident status is and what tax impacts it can have. When people are coming here as a student, they're generally not earning a lot of money. They generally don't have a lot of worldwide assets. So at that point, it's not a big question.
Right.
But as time goes on, particularly we're finding when people get to the point where their lives are perhaps, the children are growing up, they're then finding they can save some money, and perhaps based on the domicile, there may be an opportunity to do some tax planning when they're not needing to use all their income for, you know, the mortgage and childcare costs and things like that. So, or if perhaps they've inherited some assets,
yeah,
that maybe are abroad, especially if they've still got family abroad and long-term connections, then it's often later in life that those things are in point. But when people are coming to us, it's often important to explore those concepts at the outset. So we've always got it recorded on file. It's on the back burner so that when circumstances change and those planning opportunities arise, we're aware.
Okay, so we're saying that domicile actually could be a good thing then, because we had this last time with residency, you could wind up being taxed in two places at the same time and all this sort of thing. Is that the same with domicile, or is it something that could be good provided you know it's there?
Absolutely. There are certainly tax planning opportunities available to people who are domiciled in a country outside of the UK. In actual fact, you can't be UK domiciled. You're either under the law of England and Wales, Scotland or Northern Ireland. But,
oh, right.
Yes.
So I'm an English domicile.
Or England/Wales at the moment, based on how the law is at present.
Right.
In fact, my parents, one's English, one's British, one's English, one's Welsh. So
Lord.
Fully in that category.
Okay, but being a foreign person resident in the UK, then what are we talking about doing? What checks does someone need to do, and what opportunities do they possibly have?
So, going back to sort of what residence is, if we're talking about it, everyone has a domicile, a country of domicile. You can only ever have one domicile at any one time.
Right.
Everyone is born with a domicile of origin, which under current law is based on the domicile of your father when you were born.
That's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Given that you were born out of your mother.
Yes, one could argue that, but that is how the law stands
okay.
at present.
Right.
So if your parents are not married at the time of your birth, then it would be based on your mother.
Oh, I see. So it is only if your mother and father are married?
Quite. You don't have to necessarily take extraordinary steps to fathom that one out.
Right.
So, we have people, we have clients who they can even have been born in the UK, always lived in the UK, but they still have family and potentially properties, etc., abroad, perhaps elsewhere in Europe. I've got a client that I do a lot of work for who's domiciled in Germany. He's been here for many, many years, but it's still his intention to ultimately end his days in Germany.
Right.
He has ongoing investments, property, other family members in Germany, and he would always maintain that he is here for some business. This is where he is for now, perhaps bringing up the children, but ultimately his roots remain in Germany. In fact, the law provides that your domicile of origin will always subsist until you make an active decision and choice to go and set up.
So even if those roots that you're talking about, their family and everything, even if they all moved away and passed on, he's still going to be German.
It would be down to, if HMRC wanted to challenge one's domicile status, they would have to prove that you never intended to return that to that country. Now, proving intentions is very difficult.
Yeah.
So the cases that have been brought before the courts are generally after someone's actually died, so you can actually see how their life's panned out. You can
and he didn't go home in the end.
You can yes. see what happened. And you have people, for example, they've earmarked a plot in the family, earmarked the family burial plot.
Yeah. And they never
you genuinely have that sort of situation. But you know how the world is. I mean, we've got clients, or I've got colleagues with friends who, for example, their parents came many years ago, perhaps from somewhere like Ghana. You know, they considered the UK to be, they're British, certainly
yes.
they've got British citizenship, a British passport, but if they still have those ongoing connections, then they may still be domiciled in Ghana.
I'm going to have a conversation about this. It's fascinating, and presumably, there, as you say, there's planning can be done.
Yes.
So this is, but already from the fact that I didn't even know what this was about, means that it is a case of talk to an accountant, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legal concept. It's not defined in the tax legislation, so you really do need to talk to, I guess, either a solicitor, you know, someone with the legal expertise, you know, tax advisors like ourselves, to work out where your domicile is and then what planning can be done as a result. It's particularly important if you're wanting to know what wills you need.
Right.
You know, if you are domiciled outside of the UK, then it's probably important to have a will written in that's relevant
to
that jurisdiction.
That's a very good point.
So
you could be domiciled in a foreign country and you've made a will that says at the bottom this is governed by English law.
Yeah, you need
and that
you need
might
advice,
not
advice. Yeah.
Right, okay.
So,
crikey.
I mean, looking at the tax advantages, those have been slightly eroded by changes in the legislation over the last probably, 10 years, Nicola?
Yeah.
So it hasn't... to some people it hasn't sort of sat well that people who've come to the UK are perhaps benefiting from tax advantages from them compared to people who have always lived here and worked here.
So this is the domicile status stuff we read about on the front page of the Daily Express.
Yes, so it hasn't, right. hasn't always been favourable, but I mean, I'm not a politician and we're not going to go down that line. No. But, you know, these people are often bringing their expertise and their wealth and they're investing in the UK. So aside from that, so historically, a lot of these people have been able to benefit from their domicile status by only being charged to UK tax on foreign income and gains when they actually okay. bring that to the UK. So that's something that people have been able to benefit from in the past. There are now tighter conditions as to when you can benefit from that.
OK.
So that's been reined in.
And you said that everyone's got a single domicile status. You have one and it can't change unless you change it. Why would you change it and how easy is it to change?
It's very difficult to change. Think of it like a tail. It follows you everywhere. It's pretty difficult to shake off. So if, for example, you had left the UK, you've said, right, I'm gone, I'm never coming back, I've sort of severed all my economic and social connections, I've set up my life and I don't know, let's think of one of the US states.
I was going to say, a friend of mine's done exactly that. He's gone to Rhode Island.
OK, so you've settled there. You'd really have to sever those connections. And then you if you have done that, you can probably maintain that you have developed a domicile of choice elsewhere.
Right.
But then if you then leave that place, then the domicile of origin will always revive.
Ah,
so it can sort of pop its head up again if you move elsewhere. So
crikey. I don't think most people realize this, do they?
No, I mean, they wouldn't necessarily have reason to. And I said a lot of people, I imagine, whose domicile is not in the UK, it may not have huge importance, especially when they're young and don't have a lot of income.
No,
assets,
but later in life you could be talking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Certainly it's important to understand which jurisdiction will have a stake on your can make claim on your estate.
So things like inheritance tax, capital gains tax that we have here, the equivalents in other parts of the world, that sort
broadly,
of thing.
Broadly, they might not always be called the same thing.
No,
but most countries have a similar sort of tax system, so...
Oh, crikey. Well, there you are. Advice is, speak to an accountant, as always, as it always seems to be. But that is fascinating, thank you. Is it easy to read up, or should people just really come and see you?
Yeah, it's... We recommend to come in to see a specialist. It's one of those areas, although you probably can find some vague advice online, because there are changes that have taken place in the last few years and the rules are changing. Mm. The government has clamped down on a few areas that are particularly topical for non-domiciled individuals. It is worth taking specialist advice to make sure your position is right. And like you say, you can't prove intentions, so it's about getting those right things in
that
now.
That really does sound
to make
right.
sure that later down the line you might be able to prove that you've been... setting up your life in the right way to benefit from those. So there are steps you can take in advance, so it's worth getting that checked out beforehand. There's also various different claims for relief, things, other claims you can make on your tax return, which you may or not be aware of, and we can help you with those and making those claims.
And if someone's sitting here now saying, I've been here 10 years, and it would be to their advantage to have done things 10 years ago. Is a lot of this retrospective, or again, does that depend on the countries that they're from?
It entirely depends on their situation and what assets they have in the UK and overseas.
Right.
It's not a one-size-fits-all on this, so taking specialist advice for their particular circumstances. If you haven't done it 10 years ago, then do it now. It's not too late to put a time limit on doing these sorts of things and make sure you're getting it right going forward.
There you go. You heard it first here, Craig. Well, I've certainly learned something this afternoon. Thank you both for coming in. So it's Nicola Valentine, Emma Canton from CKLG. And if you want to find out more, cklg.co.uk.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Lovely. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. And you brought the sunny weather with you. It's looking like it's a bit more cheerful outside. Thanks very much indeed for coming in.
Thank you.